I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 14. 14, Christian, we're a third of the way through the year.
Yeah.
If we do 50, well.
Oh, we missed a couple.
Yeah, well, all right, theoretically. Anyways.
We're a quarter of the way through the maximum number of episodes we can get in for a year.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, good point. We're going to go back in time, not as far back as last year. But we're going to go back to a time when we saw this car at the Indy Museum. It's the 1977 Coyote Gilmore Special that one A.J. Foyt drove to his fourth victory.
Ah, okay.
So
you were scaring me for a second. I thought you were going to say it was Ferrucci's car.
Oh, no. Yeah, I know. That was no. And we stayed away from any number 14 in NASCAR and stuff like that.
Well, you could have done Tony Stewart.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't. I'm trying to stay off NASCAR because I prefer not going to it.
You could have went to F1 and did Fernando Alonso with 14.
Yeah,
too recent, but yeah.
But this is more iconic.
Yes, that one is.
So I mean, not that Fred's not iconic. Anyways, all right, moving on. Tonight's episode we'll recap NASCAR at Texas, the Worth 400. Be a very brief recap. We'll talk F1 in Miami. We'll talk IndyCar at Barber. And I'm going to take exception to those people that poo-pooed this IndyCar race because I thought it was a quite exciting race.
Who's poo-pooing? You know what? I'll save it.
The usual cast of characters out there.
Okay.
That are YouTube influencers and alleged podcasters.
Sure.
Our competition.
Yeah.
We'll have a quick discussion on the European Le Mans series in a historic weekend in the LMS at Le Castellet in France.
Oui. It's too bad.
Otherwise known as the Circuit Paul Ricard.
Too bad Nate's not here to defend his honor.
I know. And then we'll take a look ahead to a rather busy weekend in motorsports. No F1 this weekend. We have IndyCar at the Brickyard on the road course. Mm-hmm. We have WEC at Spa, Francorchamps. And this is the Prelude race this is it. The last race before we get to go to Circuit Paul Ricard. I mean Circuit Le Mans. The Lessard.
Yeah. Yep, one good dress rehearsal away.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to think. I don't think there's another Is there an ELMS race in between? Have to check that. We will talk about news and notes. Lots going on in Formula One. Breaking today. Stuff that we alluded to many weeks ago. On this podcast. And we also have IMSA in Laguna Seca for the weekend. So anybody who's running in IMSA, excluding Acura, is also running this similar car in the WEC race at Spa. So the Caddies are running, the BMWs are running, the Porsches are running. Mm-hmm. That's about it. It's a lot.
Yeah, plenty of racing going on, and none of it is F1, and that's okay with me.
No. What's next up on F1?
Spain.
Check. Hold on.
Spain is my guess.
Oh no, it's Imola.
Imola, and then Monaco. And then Barcelona is after. That's what it is.
Yes. So it's a Barcelona is after.
Ripple yeah. header. When we come back, I thought
that is a triple header, yeah. And then they go to Canada after that.
Yes, yeah. They take a
which is off. this is where it gets odd. But anyways, I know. Anyways,
well, but after Canada, then they do their Canada placement is odd. That's the only thing that's throwing it off.
Well, what's odd is why don't they just go to like. I guess there's no way to do this. I mean, it's like you're damned if you move Canada to this, you know, to go back to back with
Miami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then it kind of gets. Anyways. All right. We've hashed that out before.
So. Yeah.
All right. Let's delve into it. But let's start first on kind of a bittersweet note for me. One of my racing idols passed away this week, and that is Jochen Mass, who was pretty much, I think, one of the most badass sports car drivers of his time. Jochen was 78, actually lucky enough to see him race a few times in IMSA. Sadly, suffered a stroke back in February and never kind of recovered from it and passed away at 78. Just some of his accomplishments. I mean, this guy didn't start racing until he was... He basically went into the Merchant Marine, like somebody we know.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's hope for him.
Yeah, there is.
I don't think he's going to have the success that
Jochen had. Hey, don't... But, There's still time.
He came out of the Merchant Marine, became an auto mechanic, and then, you know, was working at a car dealership. The dealership sponsored a driver. The driver got sick, and they didn't have anyone else who could drive the car, and he drove the car, and from that point on, his racing career was launched. Pretty amazing thing. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy. He didn't, you know, he went into World Sports Cars. He drove 105 Formula One races. For five teams between 1973 and 1982. I have this all written down right now. His culmination came in 1975 when he won the Spanish Grand Prix. Now, that race was kind of crazy because it was on the street circuit in Barcelona, and there was a huge accident in it. So the race, he was leading, and then the accident happened behind him, and then, you know, essentially the race got shortened, but they, you know, awarded him the win. I think he would have won anyways. He was a runner-up in Formula 2. He also, in the early 70s, raced in, I guess, touring cars is the best way to describe it. But at the time, there was a bunch of key races. 24 Hours of Spa was one of them, a few others. But Ford had the Ford Capris running in them, which is pretty cool. He and Hans Stuck in 1972 on the old course at Spa said they won the race with a distance record of 4,400, almost 4,500 kilometers on the old circuit. Just to let you know, on the new circuit, and the 24 hours went to a GT race. The only time the 4,000 mile barrier has only been beaten three times. And that occurred in 2001, and it occurred between the top three cars, which are all GT1 spec Maseratis. And they've only gone 4,000 miles, 4,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Then moving on into World Sports Cars, drove for Porsche, Sauber Mercedes, And he had 25 wins in that time frame. Driver Championship was a runner-up twice. Overall, third overall twice. One Le Mans overall victory in the Sauber Mercedes. Now, if you folks go look that car up, the Sauber Mercedes C9 is a massive, just an awesome car. And it took on the 962s of the time. Spent quite a bit of time driving in the U.S., driving for various teams over here in the 962s, predominantly with the good folks at Bayside Disposal. Drove for them quite a bit. Yeah, often changing, switching in and out with Klaus Ludwig. And that in that car is sometimes they had things, but yeah, just that was kind of a bummer for me. Just kind of a true, you know, icon that kind of crossed over here and drove here quite a bit. And he was a badass. I like the way he raced. So things like that. So best wishes to Jochen and his family. All right. Let's get back on track onto just even somber news. Joey Logano has qualified for the he's locked in.
Yep. Was he for last season? Was he in on points or was he in on a win?
I don't know. I forget. It's such a nightmare that I want to forget. It's even a bigger nightmare now that he's back in it. I'll be honest with you, did not catch a lick of this race. I had too many other things going on in the world of motorsports. What?
Why is that? All right, never mind. I guess they didn't need a green white checkered. Results it says laps completed 271.
No,
but the race distance was 267. So I don't know where the extra four laps are coming in, unless that's they're not counting the stage caution laps.
I don't know. Don't worry about it. Anyways, what do you call those things?
I don't know. What do you call them?
The thing we put on your cart.
Oh, the transponder. Yeah, I could have done.
So Logano won. Chastain was second. Blaney third. That was a good day for Penske. Larson was fourth, having a big weekend in Texas, having won one high limits race on Thursday night, then taking the what do they call it? The Xfinity series?
It's Cup, Xfinity.
Yeah, the Xfinity series. He took that, but he took that filling in for Connor Zilich, who had the back injury because he got taken out on the last lap the week before at Talladega. You know, because we can't let the guy that's leading win cleanly, so we have to push him out of the way. So Larson took the win for Junior Motorsports there, so that was good. And then, unfortunately, came up with a fourth here. So, is what it is. Eric Jones, Stenhouse Jr., Austin Dillon, Nemechek, and Christopher Bell, along with Suarez, round out the top 10. All right. Next up for NASCAR, the Advent 400 in Kansas. That's this weekend. Wow, they're racing on Mother's Day.
Yep.
I didn't think they did.
Yep.
I thought it was like Easter and Mother's Day they didn't race. Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, they're gonna be in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll move on from there. Should we move to Formula One, or you want to do IndyCar?
Let's do IndyCar.
Oh, IndyCar. All right. So IndyCar was at Barber.
Yes.
How did we do in our picks?
Kind of a mixed bag. Like, our first place pick did well, and then everyone's like, Dark Horse sucked. So, I think I made out on the
who'd you have?
Average the best. I had Power. So he
finished Power finished fifth. Okay. You qualified fourth.
You had McLaughlin. He was third.
Started second, finished third.
And then Nate had Pillow. So we won there.
Okay. Our dark horses?
Nate's dark horse was DeFrancesco. So his...
Oh, Devlin.
He finished 24th. So Nate's race average is down to 12th. So
yep. Okay.
Not great. Not great there. You had Callum Ilott. He did better than Devlin, not quite there. So his average goes. Your average is in 13th.
Did I beat Nate?
No. Nate's was 12th or like 12 and a half. Okay. Technically.
All right. And then
my dark horse was Christian Rasmussen, who not crazy good, but finished 15th. So my average is in.
Too bad. 10th. Too bad you didn't have the other Christian.
Lundgaard would have been good, but also I mean even the other Java car would have been nice to have.
Rossi,
yeah.
So who'd you have?
Rasmussen.
That was your dark horse?
Yeah.
Who'd you have as your overall?
Will Power.
Oh, Power. Okay. Yeah. So, did you finish better on average?
Yes, I got 10th.
Okay, congratulations. Yeah. All right. We'll have our picks later in the show for IndyCar. And that I thought this race, I know I'm going to go out on a limb here. It's not going to sound popular. But overall, no cautions.
Nope. Green all the way through.
Which I actually, in this race, I thought really kind of helped the race, and it did, in the sense that ignore the guy up front who freaking blew everybody away.
Yeah.
From second on back was an entertaining race.
Yeah.
I mean, there was guys getting past in the pits. I mean, it was awesome, I thought.
Yeah, it was.
Look, there wasn't 5,000 passes, but the passes that happened were pretty damn good.
Right. You had to work for them, and if you played your strategy right and got the pit stop good, you were going to be in a good position.
So two guys who didn't get the pit stops right were Pato O'Ward and Colton Herter.
Yeah,
and they suffered.
Yeah, I mean,
two guys that got the pit stops right were Christian Lundgaard and Rinus VK.
Yeah, VK put in a hell of a drive. That was great.
Yeah, I think Lundgaard did too.
A sleeper in the race was Dixon, but that was only because of his poor qualifying.
And I think somebody who probably. Well, you can make a case in point for VK getting... Well, no, you can't, because he started... VK started fifth and finished fourth. Mm-hmm. I think driver of the race has to go to Alexander Rossi. Started 15th, finished 8th. Plus 7.
I think Dixon did better than that.
Nope, Dixon finished 12th and started 26th. Yes, plus 14,
Rossi had the better result.
So, right, I think. Yeah,
steps it up. Yeah,
that's fine.
I'm on that page.
I know both guys did good. I thought overall.
Yes.
So again, when guys are doing that and things like that, and it was just such a And then at the end, there was like three cars battling for second, third, and fourth.
Right.
So it was, it was pretty good. So I don't know. People are like, oh, there was no, yellows and stuff. Okay. Well, what do you want? Some guy like What do you want, guys? Throwing the cars off the track and wrecking them?
Yeah, I mean, like, would one caution spice things up?
Can't help it if, maybe, if what happens, like, if the cars are, what if the cars were reliable and nothing happened? It's not, I mean,
no,
there's nothing worse than a caution-free NASCAR race on an oval.
You mean Talladega?
I mean, basically, they just ride till the end. So
yeah, I mean, this is what racing is. Like, you shouldn't have to have yellows during a race, or you don't want to anticipate a yellow that you're. Or, and, I'm and sorry, you don't want to plan your race around a yellow. That's not what racing is. You never go into a race thinking that.
If this race was at, I'm just going to say, I'm going to throw this out there. If this race, and I love Road America, but if this race was at Road America, there would have been no passes. Other than on the initial start. I mean, guys could try an undercut or overcut, but I'm gonna tell you wouldn't have got a better race than that. It was a three-stop race.
Was it a three-stop?
It was a three-stop race. Everybody went three stops.
Yeah.
Just going through it here. Some guy, Ferrucci did four.
Yeah. We didn't say more pit stops is better, but you know.
No, but I'm just this is my whole thing. I mean Pillow won by like 16 seconds.
Yeah, it was
Oof.
It was a lot.
But after that, Lundgaard stretched it to 7 seconds. That's because McLaughlin
there was traffic.
Got caught in traffic. Yeah, between he was pressing, but then he won by just about a half second over VK. And then Power was just about a half second. Right. And then Power was a half second behind, followed by Award and Herder, like a second behind them. So, I mean, that damn good. I mean, it's just they got all caught up in back market traffic, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But no denying, Polo is on a roll.
Mm-hmm. He's a top driver in form right now. It's really hard to say anyone's going to beat him. But I guess the only thing with that is we haven't gone to ovals yet, so we don't know where everyone else stacks up because other teams do better on ovals than others.
We're not gonna know until we get to Indy. So, and that's in 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but I mean, yeah, if you look at the standings right now, he's got a 60-point lead on Lundgaard. Congratulations to Christian. I think it's outstanding. Kyle Kirkwood had an off weekend this weekend. He's at 127, Pato at 108, McLaughlin at 105, Felix at 105. So McLaughlin has, I think McLaughlin has the tiebreaker.
Yes, because he's the higher finish.
It's either the higher finish or he's got a pole. That might be the tiebreaker. I'm not sure for that. And then we have Dixon and Herder, Will Power, and then I think Alexander Rossi. Nice job here in 10th. VK's up to 12th with Dale Coyne Racing.
Hold on. Who was in 11th? He skipped over that.
J-New.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it's Team Penske. I was trying to get to, like, how is Dale Coyne tied? You know, he's like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's tied on points with J-New.
Yeah.
All right. So, my three surprise drivers here right now are Lundgaard, Rossi, VK, probably followed by Kirkwood.
Yeah.
You know, but here's two guys, and we talk about this every year, two guys hanging around. Dixon, well, three guys, Dixon, Herter, and Power, are hanging around.
Yeah. I mean, I would,
you know,
I'd probably expect McLaughlin to jump up.
Yeah.
But then again, it's the same thing that we saw the last year where,
yep,
honestly, like I could see Newgarden go on a run and then fizzle out towards the end.
Right.
And then they're all just kind of playing, you know, grab ass where it's not one clear Penske driver that's up in the front. Like all three of them are very talented and they can all find the speed. I mean, clearly they've all, aside from Power, that's a poor way of phrasing it. McLaughlin and Newgarden have found the podium. Power has just been, has got two top five finishes. So it's not like he's out in the woods.
No,
completely lost. Like he's still there. And aside from Power and McLaughlin's one bad race, I mean, the two of them are averaging like fourth or fifth finish.
Yep. So it's, you know, outside of our points leader here, who is just doing his thing, it's a competitive field. I mean, they're you know, guys could go on runs here. So, you know, I you know, look, just because one guy's dominating, it happens in any sport.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson dominated NASCAR for a long time. Max Lewis, I mean, they dominated. Mm-hmm. You could make a case in point. Well, a little early, premature to say that Oscar is dominating, but he is the hot driver right now in Formula One.
Yep.
But, I mean, hell, you know, this is the way it goes. But I found that race to be rather entertaining. And for folks to sit there and say it wasn't entertaining, I don't think they're really a race fan because, you know, just because the guy led and won by 16 seconds doesn't mean what was going on behind it wasn't any more or less interesting. Kudos to Fox for focusing on the back market. I mean, the race in the back because their coverage treated fans to a great race, I thought. And some really great driving. There was some great passes. You know, the guys, you know, it came down, you know, there were, you know, pit stops and, you know, teams choked or teams came through, you know? So that's all I want to see. You know, I don't want to see a procession. That wasn't a procession, far from it.
And it was nice to see strategy and play out with all the tires and when they were going to pit and who was going to go now, long or short.
The only wild card that could have, you know, made the whole race different was if it rained. That's the only thing that could happen because then we went to a wet race. I have yet to see Alex in the rain. I don't know. You know?
That would be Indy Road a couple years ago. That's one.
Was that the one with Herta with the epic save?
And like Herta had no business winning that race to begin with, but the way they called it, he was good. I just can't remember where Pelot finished that race.
Right. I mean unfortunately that's just how many IndyCar races run in the wet. We just been lucky that we haven't had that. So
yeah.
I mean, obviously on the oval it's not gonna happen, but
no.
You know, on the road courses it could. But anyway, so again, just I thought a great race. Moving on to this weekend. My favorite race. Unfortunately, I won't have my favorite former announcer to say this, but it's the Sunzio Grand Prix, Christian, this weekend.
Mm. Yep.
Now, this race is Saturday, May 10th at 4:30. Because Sunday is... it's Sunday... What happened Sunday? Oh, why did this freeze?
I mean, I don't think there's really anything going on Sunday other than they're just going to officially move into all the garages if they haven't already for the 500.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
What
the heck? Why can't I get to the... whole schedule. Oh, 2025 schedule. There it is. Sorry. Event details. That's what I want. Sorry. So Tuesday, so Sunday and Monday are pretty much quiet days at the Speedway. And then Tuesday the 13th through Saturday, oh God. I mean, they literally, wow. From Tuesday the 13th through Monday the 19th, there is some kind of on-track activity with the Indy cars. So, you know, Friday is Saturday.
Yeah.
That's the day everyone turns the boost up. Mm-hmm. Saturday is, you know, practice in the morning, and then they have the quali in the afternoon. Sunday, got practice in the morning, and then we got the bump qualifying in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then Monday is a practice day. And then Friday, the 23rd, is carb day with the race on Sunday, the 25th. That is wild. They're just going to be that busy. I mean, there's hardly any time off. That is crazy.
Yeah, and then not to mention every day in between that they're not on track, they're doing some kind of media stuff for the event.
Yeah, and the great thing is a lot of this, all the practice sessions are either on FS2 or FS1 from Tuesday through Friday, and then quali's on FS1 and Fox on Saturday. So, all right. Oh, lots to come up at Indy. So, good stuff there. Let's go to Miami, mm-hmm. and talk about the race. Your thoughts?
I can't remember if we were talking, or if I was talking with someone else about whether or not it had rained for a Miami Grand Prix before.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I was really disappointed at the track drainage. But should I be shocked about that? Not really. It's a parking lot, so what else are you going to do? It was more so for like the sprint race, but I mean, like, man, it ultimately was a preview for Sunday, because like, if they're not going to race in those conditions, then all right, if it rains on Sunday, the same thing, you're just going to get it pushed back, and
yeah,
you're going to have to wait out. And I mean, thankfully it dried up enough before they got going so that they ended up starting the race on dries, but the rain, the wet racing in F1, I know it, like, everyone can, it everyone's just beaten it to a pulp at this point, but like, it's tough to watch a sport where they're like, yeah, we race in, you know, any condition, you know, aside from thunder and lightning, like, I get it. And then but like, you have an extreme wet tire and you don't use it. So,
yeah,
like, why? Yeah. Anyways, I would like to see him try and figure something out. Although, like, I like, you know, the old F1 and would like to go back on a few things. Like, I'm not totally adverse from changing it with newer ideas. Like, I'll be honest, I don't really care if it's open cockpit or closed cockpit, or if it's open wheel or closed wheel. Like, if you can figure out a design to make it go fast and, you know, solve a couple other problems while you're going along the way. Like, F1 to me has been the pinnacle of speed. And more so cornering speed with all the downforce you make.
Yeah.
So if the car needs to look, you know, different or more prototype-ish or sports car-ish, like, that just might be the direction you go in. Like, and that's okay to me.
So ultimately, anyways, what did that have to do with Sunday?
With Sunday, nothing. It was a concern that, like, I woke up in the morning and saw, like, there was going to be rain showers. So that didn't have any effect. So good on that. That we got to see a race play out. Max got pole, which was it also kind of raises the question of, well, is the car really that bad, or are they able to put it together? I
think the car
can, is good in qualifying, but not
that.
In racing.
I think the car. I think that's where the car. I think the car has a sweet spot in qualifying, and in race, when it gets to the race day, I think there has to be a certain window for that car to operate and to win. So obviously, like Suzuka, where else did he win? Did he win two, or is it only one?
It was just Suzuka.
So, I mean, I just think when he gets, you know, it's only in that, you know, certain conditions. Mm-hmm. But I think in qualifying, the car is a threat.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the McLaren, it should in theory qualify, but it's at risk to losing out to the Red Bull. And I think the Mercedes is just behind those cars in quali trim, but on race trim, I would say the Mercedes is ahead of the Red Bull.
Yeah, I would swap out the Red Bull for Max, because the Red Bull itself in anyone else's hands is not
okay.
Not
yeah, it's not okay. That's
so,
fine.
And case in point, I'll keep pointing this out until they figure out how to get a second driver. But Yuki was again 0.7 plus off Max.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
And yeah, yep. Everyone can say, well, Yuki scored a point and finished ahead of Max in the sprint. And I'm like, well, guess what? The sprint's not the Grand Prix. And also in qualifying for both of them, he was still way off.
Yep.
So it's not even close. And I know Max got a penalty in the sprint, but that's, again, it's the sprint. It's not where the majority of the points are.
It's not, yeah.
And, yeah.
I'm kind of like you. I'm more focused on the, you know, the race, the sprint race. I know they throw points out and stuff, but I'm not.
Yeah. It's not. Know. It's also not every single race. So weekend.
Yeah.
So it's you're still in this like, oh, it's like a cool one off thing. I'm fine with the Grand Prix. Just go to the Grand Prix.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyways, the race. Lap one, turn one. Max plays his games, forces Lando off. I don't think Lando is. I think Lando puts himself in bad spots.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Max was in the right either on this. Like, I definitely think he was very erratic this race in his moves.
I think just on this take, I think these guys, you know, we know the Red Bull's not like at Suzuka all weekend. It was fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this weekend it was, yeah, it got pole. It was fast, but it wasn't that much faster.
No.
Okay.
No.
So what I don't understand is, especially on these tracks with these quirky turn ones where they have runoffs and stuff, why don't you just jockey in behind them and then just use DRS and pass them, because you're gonna get by them.
Yeah.
And it's like, then we save everybody, you know, we don't have the complaining, the bitching, the moaning and all that. I mean, it gets back to exactly what you said, Christian. I think guys put themselves in bad spots and it costs them a race.
Yeah. And I'm not, I don't want to say that Oscar had an easier time getting around Max than Lando did.
Max, yeah.
I did see a graphic where it took Oscar and Lando the same amount of laps, four laps, to get by Max when they were, you know, within a second or within striking distance, let's call it.
Yeah.
So it was more so just Lando's bad start.
Yep.
Of how to handle it than anything. And I guess the race goes on, like Oscar ends up getting by Max, and honestly I thought it was pretty hilarious that he was able to get Max to lock up and he just crossed him up and got by. Like that.
Yep.
That was. I'm really enjoying watching Oscar and Max battle each other.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
I think
great
job. I think Oscar's understood Max's racecraft pretty quick, and then I'm sure once Max gets a car with better race pace, that it'll be an even better battle. And
yeah, oh, 100% agree.
So then as the race goes on, like there's a threat of rain the whole time. Like it's, is it coming or is it not? You get around midpoint and you start seeing teams coming in and putting the dry tire on. So it was pretty clear that the rain wasn't going to hit or be strong enough at all if it did.
No, that's true.
But before that happened, that's when Lando caught up to Max, and then you get this crazy defensive driving from Max trying to hold Lando off, and yeah, you kind of then some of this is going to kind of fast forward a little bit because everyone makes their pit stops except for the McLarens and a couple of the other top guys. There's a VSC for Bortoleto's car, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
So then, basically, all the guys that didn't pit now have this advantage where they all jump up spots, or the McLarens are just now gone at that point. And then, so Russell gets out ahead of Max, and then this is where I'm going with it, that I guess someone asked Lando to of his comments about the race and Max, and he said that, well, Max kind of ruined his own race. He could have finished third if he just didn't fight so hard. And it's like, I think that's very out of context to begin with, because I think Max had enough pace to stay ahead of the Mercedes if the race just went normal as is. But also, like, Max is one of the few guys that will race you. Not just, like, play to your pace and, you know, if, like, as long as I can maximize my result. Like, no. There's another element, too, of, I'm sure Lando was pissed because he got held up so much that he couldn't catch Piastri. Because Norris was clearly the fastest driver of the two McLarens. Like that's no question this weekend. But might have there been some mind games of Max trying to stop Lando from getting the win? That can be a stretch, but you know, if you're gonna play games, like you might as well try and hurt one of the McLaren drivers during one race and then hurt the other one in another, so then that way, you know, neither one of them are really getting far ahead of each other, but also the rest of the pack.
Right.
If you go down that road. I don't think Max was going, like, all that super complex, because he's even said, too, like, he's obviously there to race and whatnot, but, like, his thoughts on winning the championship this year are pretty slim to none, just because of what the McLaren is. So unless they find something magical that's going to put the Red Bull up there to contend week in and week out, you're going to get exactly what you got this weekend, where, like you said, McLarens are out front. Mercedes is, if they put it together in a weekend, they're definitely the second fastest car. Whether Max and the Red Bull hit it, then they're up in the top five, no problem. If not, then they're going to be behind everyone somehow. Ferrari, the team radio was hilarious.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And I don't think you can sit there and blame either driver for the indecision on them, because I think the pace of the car was that bad, it wasn't going to matter.
And conversely, the Williams was
great.
Forward of the Ferrari, though.
So. Yeah.
Although they didn't, they kind of screwed their race up too because they're there.
Yep.
So, anyways, those two teams are One's on a kind of backwards trajectory. One's on a more upwards trajectory.
Yeah.
So, you know, from that perspective. All right. Well, I, you know, Mercedes, you know, again, both drivers in the top 10, both drivers did great. You know, car, you know, it seems like just a drivable package.
Yes. Yeah.
I think if Max is in that car, that car is, yeah, that car is challenging McLaren.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe,
I just don't. I don't think George is that much. George isn't. George doesn't have the next level. That's what I'm saying there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, all right. Let's take a look at the points, shall we?
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing really else. I mean, other than Berman's engine went.
Well, actually, that was one thing I had was. Four of the six rookies were out.
Yeah.
All mainly from reliability issues. And then the other thing was the Astons are just
bad. Yeah, no bueno.
They're just bad.
Bad. they're worse than the Sauber. They're worse than the Audis.
Yeah, yeah, and that is not something I had on my bingo card. And granted, like I know they're ahead of Sauber in the points because Lance has been carrying the team and putting in good results. Yeah. It's really odd to see them down that far. I have to guess that they're putting everything into 26. I haven't really heard of them saying anything about this year. But it's also Alonso is also not as vocal about the performance of the car either.
Yeah.
As I would think he would be, because technically he's had a worse start to the year than he did at McLaren with their Honda engines.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's still plenty of the season left to play out, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they can put some weekends together, or if it's just going to be this Vermont here on out.
Yeah. All right. Just quickly going through the points. Oscar. Up by 16, 131 to 115 over his teammate, North. Lando has a 16-point lead on Verstappen, who has 6 on George. And then we have a massive drop-off.
Yeah.
Over 40 points down to Leclerc, followed by Antonelli, Hamilton, Albon, Ocon, and Stroll. Somehow is still in 10th. I have no idea how, but he is.
Yeah.
So, anyways, all right. Just real quick. Next up is Imola. So,
for F1.
Looking forward to that. When is that next?
Not this weekend. Next.
The 18th. Yeah. Right. They go eight. Yep. They go triple header.
Yeah.
So, all right. Okay. All right. Real quick on the ELMS race at Paul Ricard. Overall winner was our Pro-Am winner from the race before, and congratulations to Jamie Chadwick on taking her first overall win, but also the first overall win for a woman in an ELMS race. Fantastic. Now, we're talking overall.
Yeah.
Huh?
No, I said that's fantastic.
Yeah. So her teammate, Matthias Jubere and Danny Yukadella, finished first there. Now, Nielsen Racing was second, followed by Spike was third.
Huh.
Right? Yeah, because Rexy and Roxy are in the Porsches. Yeah, so Spike finished third. However, another first occurred in GT as I scroll down. Yeah, hold on. Bear with me, please. Why is it so hard to find? I thought they tell you the class. Anyways, Lily Wadu won in her class in the Richard Mille AF Corsa Ferrari.
Ah, all right.
Two women take class wins. One of those was the overall win. So, great stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
The Iron Dames finished third or fourth in class. So, good stuff here. Good stuff. So, a lot of good stuff going on in the LMS. So, just kind of want to point those two things out. Really, you know, great to see. You know, don't need to, you know, don't, you know, getting to see these, you know, some of these women that really deserve to be in top flight rides doing that. So, good on them. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Next up for that, wait, yeah, hold on, I can't. I don't have the schedule for you on that. Sorry.
No worries. I don't think they're racing this weekend, but for this weekend, we do it like we said. IndyCar is at the road course on
road course
Indianapolis
yep.
Motor Speedway. WEC is at Spa.
IMSA's at Laguna.
Yep, and MotoGP is in Le Mans. On the Bugatti
circuit. On the Bugatti circuit. And then we have NASCAR in Kansas.
And Supercars is in Tasmania.
Just a couple of, news that's been breaking throughout the day. First started is the anticipated replacement of Jack Doohan for Franco Colapinto.
Oh, has that been announced?
It hasn't been announced, but it's
speculation blooms.
Yes. Since one of Franco's big sponsors kind of blabbed it out on apparently over the weekend in Miami. But the you know, their grapevine is ripe, and it's even more fueled by the fact that Ollie Oaks has left Alpine as team principal. Now, this guy came in this season to be the team principal, and we're how many races in? Six?
Yep.
He leaves. You know, first off, why you take the job, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, Flav shows up. I'd be like, oh, yeah. And then I think the decision point was he didn't want to replace, he wanted to leave Doohan in, and he didn't want Colapinto. And I think he got overruled.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, if anything, Piastri showed us how to handle with the Alpine. So
yeah. So, anyways, so that's ongoing strife there. IndyCar TV ratings are in.
Oh.
And we had an increase of 20% from last year to this year at Barber. So congratulations.
All right. Good stuff.
Also, it is an up from the Long Beach weekend.
Yeah.
We had an average of 914,000 viewers for the race, which is pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, over the first four races, they are up about 170,000 viewers. So, good on Fox there. Would like to see their promotional efforts be a little more focused throughout the field instead of the top those three, because honestly, outside of Palou, the other two have done nothing. So, like to see them kind of let's get some more people out there.
Mm-hmm.
They stick with it, and it's like, you know, it's great for the initial races of the season, but you know, there are X number of other drivers in the series. So, you know, let's get out there and make that so people get to know everybody, not just three guys. Because somebody's going to tune in the race and go, I thought these other two guys were, like, finishing, you know, supposed to be good.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. If we're going by that logic, too, of putting the successful drivers up there, that means Christian Lundgaard's got to be in the front there.
Yeah. Yep. And they should be talking up Rinus VK as well.
Yeah. Lundgaard's performance is very sneakily good. I've not really put it together that he's had those good finishes, but I think that's because it's being overshadowed by the fact of what Palou's doing right now.
So. No, you're right. You're very much right. All right. Let's just see what else is floating around. That's really it. I don't think I missed anything else.
No, I think we just got it all.
No,
of course, until this episode comes out tomorrow. And
all right, the world. So shall we just do our picks for Indy this weekend?
Oh yes, yep, gotta do that. All right,
Nate
is.
He's gonna ride the Palou train.
No. He's gonna go with Nolan Siegel.
Oh. Look at that.
Yep. So we'll see how that goes. Man, 2 weeks in a row he's rolling with DeFrancesco as his dark horse. So.
This is dark horse.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well. Best of luck to Nate. I'm gonna go with Kirkwood to win.
Ooh. Okay.
And Rosenquist is going to be my dark horse.
All right. I am going to go with Herder to win. I'm banking on rain. Mm-hmm. And I am going to go with Rossi as my dark horse.
All right. Let's get a weather forecast for Indianapolis. Sunny.
Yeah. Well, I'm still going to go. Let's see what my app has.
Yeah. I got, like, not.
Yeah. It's like. I got sun.
It's like 5%.
Perfect weather.
5% Sunday morning. Yeah, no, it's looking like really nice weather. So.
Anyways. Although, opening day of practice, woof. Rain.
Yeah, that could be. Let's see. Spa is. Sunny, a little cool, but sunny.
There you go. All right.
And then who else do we
see? How about Le Mans?
Le Mans, that's what we want. Oh,
rain?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
50, oh, boy.
50-50.
All right. Okay. Well, that could be entertaining.
That might be something. And then who else do we have on the weekend? Oh, IMSA. They're at Laguna. Sunny. Cool. Alrighty.
Okay. And on that note,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.